meeting to order, and we'll start this evening by standing for a moment of silence and then place the flag in. Thank you. That's our flags back here.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Thank you, and welcome to our monthly board meeting, committee of the whole meeting tonight. At this time, we would have time set aside for citizens' comments. Were there any residents that wish to address the board? Okay. If you could come, I guess we don't have a microphone.
Yeah, I think I can speak loud enough.
Okay.
Is that
that's well, we fine. Do read. We record, but that's
okay.
Mine.
Yes. Okay. Just so we have a moment. Here you go.
Yeah, if you could just introduce yourself and say where you live.
Sure, absolutely. My name is Stuart Martin. I live over in Terryville. And I want to pray for the group here tonight. Father, thank you so much for the ability to have a group that cares enough about the community so that they would lay aside their time and volunteer to look after the school district, our students, as well as our families. I pray that they have the wisdom and the care to look after these children. And I pray that you give them special wisdom throughout, so as they reach difficult decisions, that it would be both an honor and glory to you and a service to our kids. Look after each of the board members. I pray for their protection and the protection of this school. We give you the thanks again for everything that you do. In my name, amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, then we have a personnel report this evening, and hopefully you had a chance to look over that. And if so, I would look for a motion to approve that this evening.
So moved.
Ms. Kaufman, is there a second?
Second.
Ms. Kaufman, any other discussion on the personnel report? All right, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The personnel report is approved. So we'll move into Property and Services Committee, and Mr. Ramsey has the floor.
Okay, thank you. I have two action items for Monday night. The first action item is our annual snow removal contracts. I know we hate to kind of think about that this time of year, but we would like to again recommend Lusner Excavating for our snow removal at all of our locations this year. They did not increase their prices from last year, so they're keeping the rates the same. And even last year, they didn't increase the prices from the year before. Mr. Walsh did do his due diligence. He did solicit quotes from three other companies. Two of the companies responded with higher prices, and one did not respond. So we would again like to recommend Lusner Excavating. They've done an outstanding job. We've heard many comments how some companies wouldn't be able in other districts, aren't able to sometimes have the ability to move the quantity of snow that we move with due to Lusner having large pieces of equipment. So they've done a great job. Even not even in snow removal, when we have a water line, water main break, or certain other types of things, we need their assistance. You know, so many times they drop what they're doing to come to help the district and Mr. Walsh. Okay, any questions on that at all? The second item is a little bit more of discussion and kind of the direction the board wants to go. But it's that time of year where we take a look at the audited financials. The auditors did complete their field audit work. So at this point, I feel pretty comfortable, confident in what the numbers are. If you could open that attachment for me. You'll see that we've had a very, very good year. We are looking at this point having just over $2.6 million left over. I know that's a shock to some people, but I like to kind of go through and give some explanation of where the large items came through. The first one is in our out of a $45, $46 million budget, you know, we did not spend $390,000. So that's a minimal amount of money that we did not spend. Keep in mind that, as you recall, we did have some bond refunding savings this year. We won't have in future years. And that basically, in essence, is what that's made up of. You also recall that we did receive some retroactive state reimbursement from the state on our high school project, which was just over $600,000 that we did receive on that. The earned income tax, this continues to baffle me. I'm actually going to be at the Tax Bureau tomorrow, and they're going to kind of go over what's going on and give some explanation. Again, if you recall, the last couple of years it's been up. You know, we've been at $3.2 million. This year we're at $3.4 million. As you recall, in previous years when I explained to the board, it was one of those things we're going to see some higher numbers because we're getting out of the estimates. Our latest projections, when we did a projection for this year and budgeting for next year, they were saying we're going to be about $2.93 million. So we budgeted $2,750,000. I think we have a little cushion there. But when we came in at $3.4 million, it's like, what's going on? So, I mean, it's good news, but I think the Tax Bureau, we need to get a little bit more confidence in those numbers. We can't see, you know, that type of swing. So I'm hoping tomorrow we'll get some better information and then we can look at it going forward in our future budgets. You know, so this current school year, we're going to have a nice fall. If we stay at 3.4, when they said we're going to be about 2.9, and we budget $2,750,000 just to be conservative, we're going to have a nice fall through with that this year again. So my hopes is that we can count on 3.4, we can use that going forward to really help us keep our tax increases down, because there are a couple things. The index went down this year from 2.1 to 1.9. Cyber school costs are going up, and there's some other things that are hitting us. So my hopes is that they're going to come back and say, yeah, you can count on that. But I think we kind of have to hold our feet to the fire. And hopefully, I mean, I know they're trying to be conservative, but they're being conservative, we're being conservative, or I'm being conservative. And before you know it, you have these huge variances. The other item is a special ed tuition. As you know, we do have students from other districts that we educate. I think we're up to about 90 kids. I think when we were budgeting, we were about 60 kids, so we had a huge increase. We did see we did budget a couple $100,000 increase, about half of this for this current budget year, so we are seeing some increases, but we're always kind of apprehensive because you never know if you need a classroom or if the district's going to pull away. We don't want to try to count too much. But again, we continue to see the high needs. So when you look at those four items, in essence, that is your fall through, if you will. One of those, again, $600,000 is non-reoccurring. The bond refunding savings, that's not reoccurring on the expenditure side. But again, we need to drill down on your income tax. And I think as we work through the special ed tuition, we'll slowly get up to that line item. So at this point, we have a couple options in regards to what we do with the money. We can earmark it all and commit it all into the general fund like we've done in the past. We have about $4.2 million in a PISA's reserve. As you recall, back in June, I think it might have been June, we did allow for other areas of commitments, which would be technology and also would be for educational software. As you know, with the BRCNOC project, we're spending the majority of our funds in our capital reserves, so we'll be down between a little over $1 million when all said and done with some future savings. So my recommendation, but we can talk about it, would be to put half of it in the cap reserve to help start building that back up, keep the other half in the general fund for technology, because as we are becoming one-to-one, almost K-12, there's going to be a huge need going forward. So again, that's my recommendation, but I'd be anxious to hear if the board has that feeling going forward, or if you have any questions on basically what I went over. get some kind of direction if possible so that I can make the appropriate entries with the auditors so that they can finalize their report. Questions, comments?
Could we use capital funds for computer purchases? I mean, is that...
There's kind of a... If you talk to the state auditors, they say you're not able to do that. But our solicitor, Kegel Kelmany Lord, has provided a legal opinion that they say you can use the cap reserve for computer purchases. So we could put it all over there, and we could use it for capital computer purchases. You can also pay debt service out of your capital reserve fund. So we do have the flexibility over there. So I'd be okay with that as well.
I definitely like the idea of, you know, building back our capital reserve fund, which I think, you know, having some flexibility in there, I think it could use. Now, when you say using it for technology, that we're talking about other than just hardware, you mean?
We were looking more for
software.
Hardware and software from that end for the technology piece. But we also have the educational software, too. But yeah, the cap reserve is really for the hardware, if that's what you were asking.
Yeah, I was assuming if we put in the capital reserve,
it would be
hardware.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Whereas you put in the general fund, you could use it for either.
Correct.
Yeah.
So I wasn't sure if there was a direction that you guys felt comfortable with. I didn't know if Rodney or John had any questions.
No, I don't have any questions so much as to say that it's nice to have problems like this. Just for the purpose of flexibility, it seems like maybe dividing it in equal portions and putting half in the cap reserve and half in the general fund might be the way to go.
I would
imagine that the cost for software and mobility is probably much more extensive than hardware. It's just my perception. Hardware is pretty cheap right now. But, the ability to link everything together and be mobile is fairly expensive.
I think Mr. Ramsey's recommendation, it sort of covers all the bases, particularly if you start thinking down the road, you know, with the position that this board wants to project is less about buildings and more about technology and 24/7 learning and not tied to a physical place. So I think the balance of that money split makes sense for what we have planned as well.
And I think we'll also find, as we try to get all of our students into laptops instead of just the grades that we are in, we're going to find that we're going to have some unexpected expenses, and I think we should have the flexibility of half of that in the general fund for technology.
So am I hearing that you guys are okay with half and half?
Yep.
And like I said, I will. I'm going to tomorrow at our meeting. We're gonna really talk about this, and I'll ask some pretty direct questions regarding the numbers that we need to have coming from tax. I mean, it's a great problem to have. I know they've gone out early on Act 32. I know their software systems are second to none, and really getting those that aren't paying, they're being proactive, but really we need to get some more accurate estimates from them so that we can then budget accordingly.
Was there any increase in realty transfer tax that you see here?
There was a small increase, but nothing that was, you know, huge. That seems to be pretty old.
Yeah, it should trend up a little.
Yeah. Okay, then I'll move forward and I'll put that on maybe. Justin, put that as an action item, just make it in half and half, and then I'll move forward with the auditors. Thank you. I do have two information items. The first one is the 2015-16 budget process. We're going to do the same as we did last year. We'll have the proposed preliminary budget presented at our January Committee of the Whole meeting. We'll have our preliminary budget adopted at our February committee of the whole meeting, because since we have that fourth Monday of the month in February, by law, what we have to have, that's after when we have to have the preliminary budget adopted, so we'll do that again. As to the spring budget presentations, I wasn't sure what the direction of the board wanted to go. Last year, we kind of dovetailed them with our committee meetings, and that seemed to work out pretty well, so you want to come out for a separate meeting. So I think at this point, I mean, you can always add more meetings if we need to, but I'd like our recommendation that we just kind of, as we have those committee hall meetings, kind of add some of the budget meetings, if that's okay with the board.
I think that makes sense. I mean, unless we end up having some really big agendas, but you know, it's an evening. Most of us having our calendars ready, and saves having to make another trip. So I think that makes sense.
Okay, great. Thank you. The last item that I have for information is the whole transportation contract renewal. I know we talked about this several months ago, and our contract with Brightbill, it's up the end of the 15-16 school year. I was at a meeting the other day when they brought in a lot of the other districts, and they do have there's a system out there that really, and Elko has actually moved forward with it. It's a way of tracking the buses via GPS, where parents could actually log in, say their child's coming back from a sports run and they're wondering when they're going to get back. They can actually log in and see the bus, where it is. They can track the bus. It also has a feature that we can actually track what students are on the bus at the time if there's an incident. Whether it's we have them scan in, there's a little system where they can scan as they get on the bus, or they can put in a little PIN number, and we would actually know if the bus was in an accident or something happened. We would actually know which students are actually on the bus at the time. So it's a pretty nice system. It also comes with some routing software. I know Brightbill is very happy with the system. I'm not sure I haven't heard of other school districts that have this similar type of system. And they're willing to actually partner with us with the cost to really add this feature onto their buses, but they're really kind of apprehensive to move forward now, depending on what's up with the contract. So I guess what we're looking at, I know Dr. Haas and I were talking the other day, and kind of just getting the feel of the board, are you still at the point where you want to get an RFP going? If so, I should probably work on that now so that we can have enough time to move forward on that. Or is it something that you feel comfortable negotiating with them to get the system in place ASAP? So it's kind of we're kind of leaving it up to you guys to want to revisit it.
We were initially going to hold off on this conversation until we got closer to the actual need for it. But with the system out there, that sort of energized our thoughts and trying to move forward. I know when the board talked about this, we talked briefly before, and there was sort of a mixed feeling on the board about should we go out on the RFP, should we not. From my position as superintendent, I'm not recommending that we do that. I feel very confident in our bus company. I have worked within my career as an administrator four different bus companies, and this is by far the one that has demonstrated the most competency, is the most professional, most responsive. I think it could potentially backfire if we go out looking for another bus company. I'm very pleased with Brightbill. However, having said that, I understand that you know, there's a financial piece to this too. I would be surprised if we would get a better deal for the service that we currently get from Brightbill. But again, as Keith said, we do want to have a discussion with the board, and certainly you guys have a right to weigh in on that. I know we've done some RFP for some other services, and that's been fruitful. We've discovered some savings there. So we do want to have that conversation now, partially brought on because of the system that's hanging out there.
Is there, how many, within Lancaster County, how many different bus service providers to the school districts in Lancaster County do we know? I mean, is there like two or three players, or is there?
I would say the county's maybe five.
I would guess, I know there's Brightbill, first student, now that's TSA or something like that with Hatfield. I know there's Schultz,
Espenshade,
Espenshade, I think, is Mahon Central. So it's probably four or five. I know, just to go back, I know when I was in Middletown and we did an RFP slash bid for transportation, I know transportation companies were pretty geographical. They didn't really want to step on anybody's toes, if you know what I mean. Like, first question I got is, are you unhappy? No. You know, and then we only got one bid, and that was from our incumbent. You know, so I know they are pretty geographically, you know, good or bad, but yeah, there's about four or five.
I guess I think, you know, the feeling of the board is that, you know, if I remember from our previous discussions, you know, it's not that we're unhappy with the service, we're going to make sure we're not overpaying. Is there any way informally that you can kind of get an idea from some of your other business manager contacts, you know, at least are we in the ballpark?
Yeah, I can, I mean, I can, we always do surveys and we can kind of talk. I know it's difficult to compare in some respects because you got to look at, you know, we're 100% hazardous. Our miles driven are a lot different.
Yeah.
You know, we're formula based, so it's basically whatever the formula drives out to be our, except for some minimums. I can ask around if that's the rule of the board.
I don't want to speak for everybody. I just was thinking maybe that's a way we can kind of informally just do it to make sure we're, you know,
sure,
without, you know, making it.
I guess my position is it's, again, I'm not unhappy with Brightfield at all. The discussion of this new GPS locator technology I really like. It's just as being a representative of the citizenry, are we making, you know, when we're asked, are we just being fiscally responsible? You know, and to just be able to say, I would feel more comfortable if I was able to say, well, yeah, we've checked other providers and they may be cheaper, but they can't provide the same level of service. They don't have the same level of commitment. And Mark Brightfield may or may not be more expensive. We don't know because we haven't done an RFP. We could at least say we're comfortable paying the higher fee because of the service that they provide.
Any other thoughts on that? What, how long a term would it, if we did another contract, what typically would it be, a 5 year?
Yeah, it can be, I mean, our last extension was a 10-year.
Okay.
And so you can do 5 or 10. I would say, I would probably recommend if we do an RFP, I would probably go for no more than 5, just in case you get a company. Not, you know, just say, for example, we wouldn't go with Brightfield.
Right.
And we get a company, there's always the outs, but I wouldn't want to go too long beyond that. So I'm thinking probably 5 or even maybe do 5 with a 10-year option to see if that changes the numbers. And then we can evaluate it both ways, kind of like we do with the contracts where you have the alternates. We can look at it that way. But it sounds like, seems like, is that kind of where the direction you guys want to go, is to actually do the RFP and see where it comes in at versus the informal survey.
What is the feeling of some of the other districts in terms of what they're doing?
Basically, the districts I've talked to have been negotiating with their carriers to renew. The only one that I've talked with that had any inkling of going out for somebody else has been Hemfield. And Hemfield went out and they got the new contractor. But they were very unhappy with their bus provider. If you recall, there was a lot of issues at the beginning of last school year where the drivers were making up their own routes and not following the routes that they were given. So they were very unhappy. So that, for them, that was the reason why they looked elsewhere. But all the other ones, I have not heard anything of anybody looking at RFP, more just renegotiating with their current provider. CD right now is in negotiations. Elko just renewed. I know some other ones are not up until next year. The Cali goes Brightville, so I haven't heard from them.
I was going to say, do you share that kind of conversations with the other business managers when you're negotiating?
Yes.
And I'm comfortable with you doing that, but it has to be independent of other board members.
I mean, we've had a long-standing relationship with Brightville. I mean, in the interim, there's been a change in family ownership. I guess the Brightville family is no longer in the business.
Correct.
So we have had that relationship there. I guess what really bugs me about this whole transportation issue is that when we went to the contracted services, we internally could do it cheaper than what the contractors could provide the transportation service. However, the state reimbursed the contractors at a higher rate than what they were reimbursing us and forced us to the contractors. Okay, so now they have established an oligarchy, so to speak, and they're keeping these territories and their customers to themselves, and they're not really competing. So it's a business that has been established by the legislature when we could do it cheaper ourselves because of their funding formula. And now they're just creating this little country club amongst themselves. And so, you know, that just bugs me.
If I'm not mistaken, you know, I think it was when Larry Miller was here.
Yeah,
I think it was 95, 96.
Yeah, that's right on the board, so it's 19 years.
Yeah, Steve has been
18, 19 years, yes.
Yeah. The only thing they break with the offers that we could not keep newer buses out.
That is
our
correct.
Buses were falling apart.
Right.
That, and they guaranteed buses that were no older than 3 years old, and that was a huge investment.
That is correct. Mm-hmm. However, it's all based upon their formula from the state. You know, if they provided us the same formula that they're providing the contractors, we could do the same thing if we wanted to. So,
is there a direction?
Well, I guess my question was directed earlier, and the information I was looking for is, is there a movement within the districts to break up the oligarchy?
No.
And the answer is no. And
no.
So that's what I was.
Correct.
Okay.
I think we should use Uber.
What?
Use Uber.
Uber. I mean, the same scenario that we're talking about with busing is how different cities have cab services set up. You know, and it's not a free market, and prices are fixed and set, and we have no choice in it. And now, all of a sudden, Uber's come along in the past 4 years, and they're based in, you know, cities like Seattle, San Francisco, now they're in D.C., and starting in New York. And you can just take your phone and call, you know, an Uber driver and set your price. Maybe we should start an Uber for busing.
California's a fun.
I tell you, that'd be like a snow day.
Do you want to come to school or not?
I guess my only, as a superintendent, my only concern, we could put this out to RFP, and there might be maybe we should just to sell it.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what we'll do. My concern is when they come in, and there's differences of 100,000 or whatever between, we've got to really see what's together, because we have one heck of a positive relationship with Brightville. They know us well, they're extremely responsive, and short of a few incidents over a long period of time, they have a pretty good record, they have a really good record with us. They know our roads, they know our people, they know our kids, they know our houses. You know, there's a lot of knowledge that you're not going to buy from another bus company if we make that switch. And oftentimes those switches are messy. So I'm just, that's a caution. I think we should do the RFPs to sell the issue.
And currently, what is it? Effort, Calica, CD, Pecking Valley, and all Brightville?
Effort is not. It's not. It's good. Calica. kind of group, and then you have the other gym.
And you can get them down, but it's not anything that we're that you're unhappy and you can blame us.
Yeah, you blame us just to be for covers.
Sounds good. I'll get working on that and try to lay out a timeline. So, okay, great. Thank you.
Is there any possibility of not accepting the lowest bidder if it comes in?
Yeah, if we do an RFP, which this is what I would do, having an RFP versus a formal solicitor bid, is you wouldn't have to accept the lowest provider. It's more of a service, so you wouldn't have to accept the lowest. And we would keep it pretty open-ended. And then in the end, if depending on where Breakbook comes in, you can always negotiate with them.
But the RFP will include having them do this.
Correct.
Tracking system.
Yes.
Correct. For whoever.
Thank you. That ends my report.
Thank you. Any other questions for Property and Services, Mr. Ramsey? We'll move into program. Dr. Larkins.
Good evening. I have three action items for next week. The first would be the approval of a course in mathematics. If you remember last month, Mrs. Kelsall presented this course along with the revised elementary math curriculum, but this one needs approval because it is a combination of Algebra 1 and Algebra 2. Any questions about that? Then we have approval of affidavits of guardianship, which is on our agenda regularly at this time of year. Any questions about that?
Okay, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Dr. Larkin, can I ask a question about math?
About the guardianship?
Change of math, or the addition of the mathematics program.
Mm-hmm.
Is that viewed as a step to help us with our Keystone Math scores?
Yes, it is. My final action item would be the approval of the settlement agreement for educational expenses for students with special needs. Is there any questions on that one? Okay, then my last is an information item. Just a reminder that we are finishing the comprehensive plan here in the district, and we will present it to you at our October 20th board meeting next week, but final approval of the plan will take place at our November board meeting. And if there aren't any questions, that ends my report.
Okay. Any other questions for the program? And I guess we will move on to management.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have one action item from management. This is a routine action that occurs every time around this year. We need to approve a coach for as a volunteer for the in order to sanction the PIAA swimming events. Essentially, we need someone to stand up for kids who are participating in swimming. We do this every year. There is no liability. There's really the only thing we're lending is we basically write a letter that says this is the person who represents the kids. Mr. Reitenauer makes that recommendation for us. Besides that, there are really no other commitments on behalf of the district for that piece. We need to have that approved so that Mrs. Schaefer can take a letter literally saying that she's the officially recognized volunteer coach.
Any
information items? A number of those. First is the superintendent focus areas. If you recall the last couple of years, we've tried to, instead of call them goals, they're more focus areas because, quite frankly, we superintendent a whole lot more than just the few goal areas. So they're focus areas, meaning that additional attention and resources of the superintendent's time will be given and donated to these goals. There are a number of them. You have them in your private message there. We'll make those public as soon as this meeting is over. professional development is an area that we're looking at. With all of the data that we now have, more than ever, quantifiable data about instruction and about teaching, we should be and are able to provide more specific, more customized learning venues for teachers based on that data. So I anticipate this year expanding the goals, the professional development area of the district extensively to include differentiated instruction, whereby some teachers who have already been identified will do a sort of their own reflections and have a customized program for themselves because they're very successful. So things like that, a lot more mini lessons for teachers based on their observations, tracking of that information, those sorts of things. We are excited about some of the in-service time we've had already. We've moved to a more menu or a cafeteria style of in-service where teachers are picking more from a list of courses, almost like a workshop. If you would ever go to a workshop where you have concurrent sessions, Dr. Arkin has been doing that, and we've been getting some real positive feedback. So more of that flavor of types of professional development would be an area of focus. Second area, any questions related to professional development? Second area then is an expansion of the alternative revenue development. As you know, we've been trying to experiment and pilot with different instructional programs. Our special education program certainly is an outstanding example of bringing revenue into the district, in this case nearly $2 million at this point. But we want to look at other areas. For example, looking at our facilities. Can we be doing more with our facilities? Should we look at advertising? We looked at it years ago. We currently sell banners in the different sporting venues. Should we be doing more? Should we be doing a pay-for-service type of program where parents can upgrade an educational service for their kids, meaning additional credits or something along those lines, and look for a pay-for-service model? Certainly in the business side, we know Mr. Ramsey and the folks who report directly to him do some amazing things in the business office. So there are ways to explore additional revenue streams. Last year, we sort of framed all the possible ways. This year, we'd like to come to you with some ideas, pros and cons, and give some yes no's on some of those ideas. Any questions or comments on that? The third area is just regarding specifically the evaluation tool for the superintendent. Currently, the board uses the Pennsylvania Association of School Administrators rubric. There is a desire for additional feedback, much in line with what we're doing currently. We've explored a survey of with students and teachers, and so this would be more of a survey akin to a business 360, where we would get information from more folks other than just the board. Unfortunately or fortunately, you folks only see me twice a month, so it's kind of hard to do your job other than picking up hearsay in the community. So this would be a more targeted and deliberate attempt to garner information from a variety of sources to give you more information about the performance of the superintendent, which is in reflection of the performance of the school district. Then the last area of focus for this year is just transition planning in general for key members of the staff, both faculty and administration. We have a number of administrators who are working on advanced degrees currently. We have a number of administrators who've been in position for several years. At this point, any one of those positions, there are many of those positions that are vulnerable to folks leaving for whatever reason, because someone tapped them on the shoulder or they're just looking to make a change. I think it would be prudent to develop a transition plan for a number of those positions, including alternatives to those transitions, should they arise. We have a couple of ideas already in mind for that, and I think having something thought out ahead of time before a critical position is left vacant would be prudent. So we're going to develop those plans as well. Any questions about the focus areas for the superintendent? Be a tough time to lose momentum with all the things we have going on and critical positions. Definitely like to have some backup to that. Okay. The next comment I have, it's just a note, and I really want to do this for our reporter, but he's just left, because you guys know this already. Our free and reduced numbers are continuing to grow, up another 3%. If you look at the overall percentages, I would guess that they're probably higher than they're reflecting, because our elementary schools are averaging about 41.5%. And the high school and middle school drops off significantly. Well, that doesn't make sense, because they're the same kids and come from the same families. I think we just have less reporting at the high school and middle school. So my speculation is that our free and reduced lunch percentage is probably about 41% of reality here in the district, which is significant to learning, significant in many of the things that we have to do and the ways we have to do them. For example, connectivity is an issue. We are still struggling to get parents to get their students registered online because of the connectivity issue and some of the challenges that poor families have. So there are a number of ramifications to that free and reduced lunch increase, and I thought it was worth having that conversation.
It wasn't for the longest time we were at 30-32%.
5 years ago, about 5 years ago, we were around 26%. So that's a short period of time to see that escalation. It's a lot of change. Huge ramifications for teaching and how teaching has to look in a classroom. So it's
and refresh my mind, what's tied to that? Is it Title I is tied to
that? Title I is partially tied to it, correct? Maybe totally tied to Title I, but more than that, Tom, if and again, these are general terms, so you have to be careful, but just the students coming from homes with less means just come into school academically less ready in many cases, less vocabulary, less reading skills, all of that stuff, and it has a huge impact on kindergarten, and the continuum of kids that come into kindergarten gets bigger, which is why we're doing some of the things we're doing with the preschools and trying to get contact with preschools and having a preschool curriculum. But that continuum gets bigger and bigger. You've got kids way out here who are reading words, and you've got kids all the way at the bottom who don't know colors, and they're all in the same classroom. That's a real challenge for the kindergarten teacher. So, something to keep our eye on for sure and plan around, because it wasn't just a blip on the screen. It's constantly going up every year. So, enough about that. The next thing I have is the flexible instructional days pilot. PDE has established some loose guidelines on what could be an alternative if schools begin missing a lot of school. So this is the answer to all the snow last year. Being perfectly honest with you, it seems like they put this together to respond to a need, but didn't really put anything together that was realistic or meaningful. I believe I have the attachment. Nick, can you pull that up for me? Flexible instructional days. And I think I gave that to you. Well, you have access to it, I can't read it. But the guidelines are pretty vague at best. If you just take a look at a couple of them. The LEA has secured stakeholder support. Well, what does that mean? Does every parent have to vote yes? It would be a lot of work to begin to try and knock off these requirements. We had a conversation with the superintendents. And at that point, no one was giving it any serious consideration. I think we need to look at it to see what others are doing. But some of this is going to make it, I would argue, almost impossible to have one of these days in reality. I think until we have everybody on board with technology and everyone has technology that works from home, I think we're still going to be stuck with the traditional model of closing school and when it's snowing and working out the calendar as it falls. Any comments or questions about that?
Just, Dr. Hollister, what does LEA stand for?
I'm sorry. That's us. Local Educational Association, Agency, Local Educational Agency, LEA. That's us. I mean, I think they are responding to pressure without giving it a whole lot of real thought about how this could be done. And certainly, they're not offering suggestions on how to make any of those things work. So it's sort of left up to us, and that's a lot of work to getting back a couple of days of school.
I mean, I would think, see it being an issue if, you know, those students that didn't have access, we could open ourselves up for liability with, you know, lost time and having to make up.
The biggest issue is with special education services. You know, a lot of students can work on their own, special education students by nature really can't. And so we have to be able to provide something for special education students, which probably looks like shooting from the hip. Probably looks like a Skype situation where you would have one-on-one contact with the student. And even then, they would need cameras that would project what they're doing. It could be, could it be done? Yeah, it could be done, but it would be very expensive to do so and cumbersome at this point.
We could just go to year-round school.
Yeah, let's do that. I mean, last year we were on our way.
Yeah.
So, that's the other thing. I mean, I guess if things really get bad, this would be better than nothing. You know, if for example, Ebola really does make a huge outbreak and we're out of school for a month, then maybe something like this makes sense just to keep things moving. But even then, it's going to be very difficult to keep all students engaged and on board.
I was just saying, look up there in the Poconos with the search for that sniper. They did lose a week or 2 weeks of school.
They lost a week of school before that. Then they decided it was safe.
They have the bad weather issues.
I think it's a starting place for a conversation, but we're far from making this a reality.
Can we go back to that free and reduced lunch issue?
Sure.
A minute. Is there any other data that is surfacing to, like, confirm these numbers? Or I just look at it from a different perspective, because obviously Mr. Ramsey is bringing us numbers that the top line for our community is growing at a huge rate.
If
we have, another $900,000, and yet these people down here at the bottom just don't seem to be moving, or what... Is there another way of coming at it?
The only other information that I've been using, Mr. Hartz, is the median income numbers. And the most recent number that I have, unless you have a new one, is from 12 calendar year. And at that point, there was a drop in median income. I want to say it was a $7,000 drop from 45.
Yeah.
Justin, don't quote me because I have it in my office, but there was a drop in median household income from 45 to like 38 or something like that.
And that's within our local district?
Yes, that is our district, yeah. And he can't give you the numbers yet, but it'd be interesting to see if there's a trend there. That's one piece of data, but it's 2 years old because of the nature of it. So there is that piece that supports it.
Yeah, it's interesting though, because what did you say it went from 5 years ago?
It was like 26%, 27%
for free and reduced, and now it's up to
30, almost 39%.
And that is a huge increase in 5 years.
Now, what you don't know is how many people weren't making application before.
Right.
There's some of that, too. But the fact that people are taking the time to make application says something, too. So,
Mr. Hartz's point, it could be our scenario could be a micro reflection of what's happening nationally, as the gap between the haves and the have-nots keep expanding.
Very, very well could be, that could be a trend as well, absolutely.
And the median can get skewed too if you have some you know, a couple of really big earners who had a big reduction, where the average, I don't know what the mean would be.
When we get that number, we'll share that next year, just see.
It's definitely something that we need to be aware of.
Mr. Hart, it's one piece of data, but it's a data that's got to be folded into all the other pieces. I agree. It's hard to believe, but then if you go out and walk in our classrooms, you'll see it. It's a conversation worth continuing. Anything else on that? I have two other items that did not make the agenda, and they're just real quick sort of announcements. It's a good segue, actually. I was given a short email by Meredith Baugh just after our last board meeting, so this is from this summer, even though the summer seems far away already. Cross Connections Ministry served 160 lunches per day all summer long to our students. Now, full disclosure, I'm on the advisory board for Cross Connections Ministries, but I have to tell you, that is an enormous service to our school district. What Cross Connections is serving our community unbelievably well, a place for kids to go after school and literally meeting their basic needs all summer long. And I wanted to publicly acknowledge that and thank them. The other really cool part about this little email that I received from Meredith is, in addition to the 160 students that were fed every day in three different sites, they were done at the Cross, Cedar Grove, Presbyterian, and the Terry Hill Community Center. There are also 90 volunteers helping do that. And I think that's worth mentioning, too. A lot of folks helping Cross Connections out this summer during their summertime. So it speaks well to our community that we are helping one another out. And I thought it was worth mentioning. The last announcement I have is I was contacted by the Chamber of Commerce, and they asked us to be a host site, although we're not doing anything other than providing a room for a debate between Dave Zimmerman and Brian Sanguinito. The two candidates running for the 99th House District. They're going to have that debate here in this room on October 30th from 4 to 5 p.m. And the chamber will monitor and moderate that. We're simply just a host site. I believe that's all of my management report. We do have the need. Any comments? Any other final comments on that? We do have the need for an executive session for legal matters, negotiations, personnel matter, and a land matter. So we're getting a lot of the sunshine allowable excuses tonight. So it's legal, negotiations, personnel, and the land. And that's all I have.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Hollister. Any other final questions on that? Any other general announcements for the board?
I move we adjourn.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. We are adjourned. Thank you.